Hello, you're listening to season 5 of the Achieve With Me podcast, and I'm your host, Rachel Gilfrim. My mission as a confidence and career performance coach is to empower women just like you to build confidence at work, have your voice heard, and achieve genuine career fulfillment. We'll be chatting about creating confidence, setting boundaries, finding the fun in everyday tasks, and of course, navigating the usual challenges that come with being an achiever. Connect with me on LinkedIn to join my group, Mindset Hacks for Ambitious Women. And without further ado, let's get into today's episode. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Achieve With Me podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're very welcome here today. And just to start off right off the bat, I just want to reconfirm what we're going to be talking about in today's episode, because it's a slightly different take on some of the topics that I usually speak on. So this episode is entitled Reasons Why You Haven't Yet Reached Your Full Potential in Your Sales Career. And it's a topic that's really close to my heart, because for those of you that have known me for some time will know that prior to being a coach, I had a career within the tech industry. And all the roles that I have done have been within some kind of guise, sales roles. So whether that's been account management, relationship building, prospecting, that sort of thing. Sales has been a huge part of my career and everything that I have done that's led me up to where I am today. So I understand that if you are somebody that is in a sales career, welcome. If you are not somebody who's in a sales career, maybe think twice before flicking off the episode, because for a start, we're all selling all day, every day anyway. You know, if you're a parent and you've got children, you're constantly thinking of new ways that you can get them to do what you're asking them to do, behave themselves, that sort of thing. And every role that you have requires you in some way to explain why you're the right person for that role. So don't necessarily think to yourself, oh, this episode might not be relevant for me. If you have come to this episode because you have signed up for the waitlist for my new program, welcome again. So I'm going to talk a little bit about this towards the end of the program, towards the end of the episode, about a new program that I am launching specifically for women in sales roles who are really looking to supercharge their sales performance, supercharge their career performance, up-level their confidence, all those good things. So if you are not already on the wait list, you can do so. The link will be in the show notes. So let's get started on today's episode content without further ado. So when you're in any kind of target-based role, so whether that's some kind of commercial role, or specifically a sales role where you have your own target, whatever it is, we very much view the year broken down into cycles. So we have an annual target, a quarterly target, and a monthly target. And each of these areas will have with it effectively an emotional roller coaster, because from the start of the month, the quarter, the year, we are really starting to think about how we're going to achieve this goal. And a lot of the time, we may already have some idea of how we're going to get there. We might already have some prospects, some deals in the pipeline. But for some of us, you know, it could be that we don't necessarily have a specific idea of how that's going to come about, and we simply just need to chip away at it day after day. So we get assigned these numerical targets by our employers. And what you'll know is that these usually will increase every month, okay? There's no getting away from it, you know, they tend to go up most months. There might be a bit of seasonality applied to it if you have particular products that maybe see a spike at, for example, Christmas or the New Year or anything like that. But effectively, they're typically always going to be going up. And this emotional roller coaster that sits alongside being within a sales role is this kind of start of the month motivation that we end up feeling really good towards. We've got all these ideas about how we're going to perform. But then we can start to get to the middle of the month and think, oh no, not quite where I need to be. I'm tracking behind target, so now I need to make this up. I'm feeling a lot of pressure. Perhaps you're having sort of daily or weekly sales meetings with your manager who wants you to present on your performance. And it can feel as though there's a lot of pressure around this time. And that pressure only builds as we near the back end of the month, where it's all hands on deck. Every single thing in the world is urgent. And the world's going to end if we don't meet these quotas or targets. Sound familiar? So what then happens is we have this mad rush. It's all chaotic energy, which, by the way, rushing energy is very unattractive, not only just to individuals, but for prospects as well. So there's this mad rush energy, go, 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 and then nothing. The 31st of the month comes and goes. We get to the first of the next month, and you got to do it all again. Whatever you did last month is no longer relevant. Unless it was really terrible, in which case, of course, you probably, you know, have to have conversations surrounding performance review, what have you. But effectively, it's all gone. All that mad rush energy is gone and you're back into that, okay, let's do it all again. Let's have this fresh start. And I don't think this is talked about enough, because this emotional roller coaster, it's okay for the first 6, 12, 18 months, but if you've been in this role for years and years and years, it can really take its toll on you. And actually, that energy investment that we naturally begin to apply at different stages within the month can actually start to be reflected within our personal lives as well. So first of all, I think just being aware of what your own emotional roller coaster looks like and really starting to notice your patterns of behaviour surrounding that can be really helpful for getting ahead of that. But why is this relevant to reaching our full potential? Well, when you think about it, when you're given a number and you're working towards that and you're constantly being pushed, pulled, challenged throughout the month to get to that point within a specific set of days, which actually, when you think about it, is so illogical. So illogical. A bit easier in B2B because, you know, if you're selling to other businesses, they probably have similar metrics in place. So they kind of understand that end of month urgency, but very, very difficult way of measuring things. Anyway, when you think about the fact that we are working towards this, we basically go into survival mode. Because a fear sets in of, oh gosh, you know, what if I am not going to get to that number? What am I going to do? What's my plan B? How can I go about this? So all we become focused on is this survival mode piece. And what we're not looking at during that time is, what do I actually want to achieve as an individual? Of course, I have my own metrics that I want to measure myself on, but how can I challenge myself? How can I get out of my comfort zone? And is this number really all I've got to shoot for? Let's say, I'm just literally going to pull a random number out of nowhere. Let's say your target's 100 grand a month. Revenue GP, whatever you targeted on. And you just get it in your head, right, got to do this, got to do that, got to look at my pipeline, constantly looking for new opportunities to fit within that 100K. Imagine if you just didn't focus on that number as much, but rather focused on other activities surrounding that you could challenge yourself for. Things like, I tell you what I haven't done before. I haven't done in-person meetings with my clients, or I've not done a presentation to explain to them our value add. I've not done this before, I've not done that before. How can I challenge myself to get a better understanding of my clients' needs so that we can really begin to proactively offer solutions for them rather than constantly responding. So we never actually get to see what we could really be capable of if we weren't operating within this cycle. And I'll be honest, one of the main reasons I wanted to record this podcast today is because I want you to be able to almost zoom out of the everyday. So within this time that we're together now on this podcast, just almost think of either zooming out and having a bird's eye view of you in your career, or imagine that you are a friend who is offering yourself advice and who is looking at your situation. So almost kind of come out of that day to day. I really just look at the things that you're focusing on. Very often, I speak to people who want to improve their sales performance. And because there's so much rushing energy, they never do this kind of stepping away, zooming out piece. And one of the things that I think is actually really admirable is when I see people who are really committed to mastering their craft. What do I mean by that? Well, being a sales professional is a really important role. It's a professional career. Whereas sometimes you get quite a bad rep, don't you? I mean, you've probably seen it in films or series where you've got the sleazy car salesman. And actually, a lot of people will kind of tar us with that brush if we're within a sales role and not necessarily take us seriously. Firstly, it's our job to prove them wrong and to share with them that we are actually in this career as a sales professional, not just literally going into a role to try and make some extra money before you move on to what you really want to do. And if that's you, by the way, that's absolutely fine. But if you're listening to this today, chances are you found it because you do want to reach your full potential within sales, which suggests to me that you're committed. So, what was I saying? Yes. So, I really admire people when they have a commitment to master their craft. And mastering their craft to me means adding in extra knowledge wherever you can. Bringing self-awareness to how you are performing as an individual, not just on the metrics that your organization will ask you to measure yourself on. Really starting to think about what makes me great at my job and really, where could I make improvements there? So I want to talk about sort of four or five really key areas to bring your attention to when you're in this zoomed out phase, looking down upon yourself in your sales role, sort of four or five areas that you can consider whether you could be optimizing these areas further to unlock your potential within your sales career. The first thing, it probably won't surprise you to learn, actually, if you've been listening to my podcast for a while or if you know anything about what I do as a coach. But the first thing to think about is your level of self-confidence. And again, we're really just looking at different areas of our life and seeing where we might be able to proactively improve these. Now, I see this time and time again, specifically with women as well, where we tend to just doubt ourselves. There's a hesitation to kind of step up and put ourselves forward for the things that we want within our career. And whilst I'm absolutely thrilled to see that this is something that we're seeing less of, it is still out there. So I think that one of the things to think about when we think about proactively trying to improve areas of our life, and we start with confidence, is really asking you, when was the last time that you checked in with yourself and really started to recognize your strengths? When did you last write down things that you were proud of that you had achieved? And one of the first things that I get any client to do that is working with me is I set them a 28-day challenge of writing down every night before they go to bed three things that they're really pleased about that have happened that day. They might be small things, they could be big things. But what it does is really trains your mind to start looking for those positives. And in turn, that's going to lift your confidence because rather than letting your mind go onto default and start looking at limiting beliefs and negativity, we're really going to retrain that mind to focus on the parts that you're great at. Because I can guarantee there will be things that you are so great at that other people could only hope to have the natural ability in. There's so many successful women that I have witnessed overcome self-doubt. And this has all come from really having a focus on positive self-talk. The first area is confidence. Just really looking at how you can proactively bring your attention to having some more of the good stuff. Now, the second thing is all to do with... I nearly said something really strange. I nearly said further education, but then that sounded like I was talking about something within the curriculum. I am not somebody who is very academic, so that's very much the opposite of how I roll. But I suppose what I mean really is skills development. And when we look at the way that we are growing our skills in our job, it's quite common for organisations to invest in the people that they work for. So I do quite a bit of this work. I go into organisations and I partner with HR departments to help them to bring along some of their, you know, rising stars, some of their high potential talent. So I know that there are certain initiatives that thankfully exist within organisations. But what I see a lot of people doing is sort of waiting until they are invited to go on a course by their manager or HR, or waiting until they are recommended a book that might help them with a certain thing, or waiting until they're actually told, oh, you need to do this. And this sounds basic, right? But the world of sales is pretty fast-paced, okay? It's fast-paced in that it's agile, it's driving itself forward. There's lots of different modalities to reach your ideal customer now. So actually, staying up to date with the sort of latest trends and tools and techniques is going to be really crucial to your performance. And the only way to do that really is to commit to yourself that you're going to continue to research that. But another thing is the actual principles, the core principles of selling haven't really changed much over the years. There's different structures, there's different principles that we operate within, there's relationship building, there's lots of different things that have been used within sales as far back as anybody can remember. And there is an abundance of resources out there that can support you to find your own way of implementing these things into your day-to-day sales techniques. So don't wait. You know, if you're experiencing a challenge with objection handling, for example, I've just literally pulled something that's quite common out there. If you're experiencing a challenge with objection handling, ask yourself, what can I do about that? What's within my power? Get yourself an Amazon. I'm sure that you will find so many books that are geared towards upskilling people like you who are ambitious enough to want to improve, but just aren't really sure where to begin. There are podcasts just like this one. So if you are here, then there's already a tick there because you are working on your skills development. There's podcasts with an abundance of knowledge there. There's online courses, there's free webinars that you can attend. We are so incredibly lucky that we have so much knowledge at our fingertips. Yet, sometimes it feels as though people aren't taking their skills development seriously enough to hold themselves responsible for. They seem to think that it's the job of their employer to upskill them. If you know that you are going to be within a sales career for long term, and it's not just about the role that you're in today, it's about your career trajectory. So getting better at some of these skills is not only going to improve your day-to-day career performance, but actually really help you to think about upskilling yourself so that you're ready for some of these other roles in the future. So yeah, we have so much power towards improving ourselves with learning and development. So definitely think about today, what could I do to invest in myself to make sure that A, I can start to see a little bit of a bump in the old commission, would be nice, let's face it, but really start to change my personal brand, have myself known as somebody who is committed to that continuous development. Right, I'm off my soapbox now. Soapbox. The next thing I want to talk about is effective networking. And I was speaking with a client the other day, actually, and I asked her about what she was doing to grow her professional network. So some of you might know that I am very active on LinkedIn. I'm actually most active on that platform. And I'm constantly expanding my network because I know that there are so many people that want what I've got to offer, let's face it. A lot of people are very committed to propelling their careers forward and upskilling themselves. So that goes without saying, but also making connections with people who, you know, they can add value to me and I can learn from because I'm really committed to that. And I think sometimes what we tend to do is we only fall back on our networks when we need them. So if we started looking for a job tomorrow, we might think, right, who do I know? Oh, right, this person, they've mentioned that before, I'll get in touch, which is fine. But look, start thinking about effective networking and proactively building your network today, well before you need people. You can do things like attending industry events. So there's lots of different awards things that you can go to, there's lots of different conferences, specific networking events for your industry. There's memberships and associations that you can join in a professional capacity, which is really going to help you to connect with other peers who are looking to do the same thing as you, that you can support each other. And you can start really learning the skills of building genuine relationships, but also once you have built these genuine relationships, start leveraging them for opportunities. And guess what? Developing the skill of networking and building genuine relationships is only going to help you to build further relationships with your clients or prospects. So it really is a win-win situation. You're building that network for the future, but you're also practicing the small talk. Like, how many of us have been in a situation where you've gone to a networking event and you've thought, oh God, what am I going to say? I've said the same thing 5 times now. Come on, I really need to mix things up. So these are all really, really good opportunities for honing those skills. And I promise you, it will pay off in the future. So the next thing, I can't remember if this is 4 or 5, but it's all about goals. And I alluded to this a little bit at the beginning of the episode, but effectively, when we work within a goal-oriented environment and we have all of these metrics and KPIs and objectives, we can get out of the habit of actually setting our own goals. And I kind of understand why, because you almost get this goal fatigue, don't you? Of like, oh, well, you know, I did set goals, but then I didn't have time to actually execute on them. So now I feel rubbish because I feel like I failed. And or maybe even you did achieve a goal, but you found that it took so much from you that you decided not to set any further goals because you just wanted clear focus. Whatever the reason is, we can sometimes, when we're in this environment, have a negative association with goals. So what I'm talking about here is removing the hard metrics, removing the numerical targets, and really starting to think about your intentions. So rather than goals, looking at your intentions. And something that I love to work on with my clients is, how do I actually want to feel? Not what do I want to achieve. If I envisage myself in this situation, how do I want to feel? So if you're getting onto a call with a brand new prospect, maybe you're just cold calling, someone answers the phone and you think, oh God, here we go. Somebody's actually answered, brilliant. You get through to somebody. Rather than you looking to have a specific outcome that is numerical or it's going to contribute towards your target or whatever, think to yourself, what would I love to do differently on this call that I've not done before? How would I love to challenge myself? And how do I want to feel? Do I want to feel laid back, easy, emotion neutral? Hey, I've got this thing. You've got this thing. Do we want to come together? It's an easy conversation, but sometimes we overthink it so much because we're so scared of rejection. So if we're setting an intention for how we want to feel when we're contacting people, removing that rejection is even a thing, and concentrating on feeling confident, feeling flowy, feeling ease, feeling as though any outcome that could come off the back of that call is expected. Because we're not hoping that objections and things like that don't come. We know they're going to come because we've worked through our sales process, and we've got some fantastic techniques that we can use to handle those situations. We're prepared, we feel good. So it's taking things away from those typical metrics that you're probably used to, and let's face it, sick of. I'm thinking about just intention setting, how you want to feel. And sometimes that can really be a kinder way to measure your own success in a sales environment. So as I mentioned, you know, the goal for this episode for me, the intention of this podcast episode was all to do with looking at ways that you're not fulfilling your potential in your sales career. But not because you're not because you're doing something wrong, because there's a lot of missed opportunity where we're not proactively doing things that could really be helping us. So the next time that you're, and I say this with no judgment whatsoever, but the next time that you're clocking out at 5 and not thinking about work again until you get there the next day, that's absolutely fine if that's what you want to do. But if you want to really unlock more potential, there's opportunities to do this just by turning your focus to areas where you feel as though they would positively contribute towards you getting what you want, which is, you know, an accelerated career trajectory, feeling the fun, bringing the fun back into your sales role, feeling like you've got tried and tested structures that you can use, and you don't have any nervousness around because your confidence is just sky high. This is all possible for you. And I have to be honest here. I recorded this podcast a couple of days ago, and I've just come back onto the podcast today because I've been speaking to a specific client that I'm helping out with some sales training at the moment, and it's really bringing up a lot of memories from my own sales career. And I wish I had somebody there to talk to me about balance. What do I mean by balance? Well, I'm talking about the balance between building great relationships and being that go-to person, but also setting boundaries with people, and being able to professionally push back and have a way to craft a response if something inappropriate is said. I don't think this is talked about enough. When women are in sales roles, there can be some awful experiences that we have where, you know, if we get comments like, oh, I'm sure you can flutter your eyelashes and make the sale, or, oh, come on, babe. And you think, firstly, that's really inappropriate. But you might think in that moment, I don't know what to say, and I really want to keep this relationship going. So I am all about boundaries. And this is something that I think is really important, especially within the realms of a sales role. So I'm going to commit to recording a special podcast surrounding how to professionally say some of the things that we might want to say in another way. So I'm going to wrap this episode up now, but what I wanted to leave you with was this. It's simply an invitation. So whether you have listened to today's podcast and thought, okay, there's actually a few things on that list that you're absolutely right, I haven't been doing. So let me get my Audible or my Kindle loaded up or whatever that is. My dog's just come in. Hello, Pepper. Let me get my personal development tools loaded up and let's go. And that's great. some of you might even be thinking, I've tried all that. I feel like I've done all the things and just nothing's really working or nothing's really helping me to, you know, build my confidence or supercharge my sales performance, which is what I really, really want to achieve. So listen, the invitation is this. I am running a brand new transformational program specifically for women within sales or commercial roles. So this could be a business development manager, an account manager, a buyer. You could be in recruitment. That would be a really good use for this program. And what this is going to take you through is how to alter your mindset to build effective confidence that you can apply to any area of your career. Is going to go through different modules surrounding long-term relationship building and cold selling. So if you're hitting the phones, we can start to look at a fantastic way to structure those sales calls. If you're looking at more lead generation, we're going to be going through how you can start networking for success, really building those relationships before you need them. Remember, we talked about this earlier. And we're also going to be talking about public speaking. So how you can present with success. You can put together a compelling pitch to really move your customer to take the next step with you. And all of this is going to be wrapped up into an 8-week program, which will be a group program delivered by me, yours truly. And because it's the first time running it, there's going to be a discounted rate offered as well. So listen, I'm launching this at the end of September, so there's still some time. But my invitation to you today is simply this. If you think that this could be of interest, if you think that this could be beneficial to your role, and you think, ooh, maybe my work might pay for this out of my personal development budget, whatever it is, simply pop your name down on the wait list. This doesn't mean you're signing up to anything, but what it does mean is that when we open the doors, you'll be the first to know and you'll get all the information on all the modules. And of course, the bonuses, don't forget those. So if you've got any questions about whether this might be right for you within your role, please do reach out to me. I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Instagram, as you probably all know by now, so get in touch. But yeah, just simply, the link will be within the show notes of this podcast. So pop your name down and you'll be the first to get the emails when we launch. But apart from that, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Achieve With Me. And if this was helpful, do feel free to let me know, or even better, pass it on to somebody else who it might benefit. Thanks, bye. Thanks for listening to the Achieve With Me podcast. Please do give the episode a star rating. It takes just a second, but makes so much difference. And please connect with me on LinkedIn and share your main takeaways from today's episode. See you next time.